Thank you. Well, thank you, Lord, for putting me back in the spirit. I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you that tonight, Lord, we're going to be led by your spirit. Father God, just place it in our heart to pray that you would give us a hunger for you, that it's a fire that can't be put out in our spirit, that we want more of you, Lord. We want as much of you as you could give us, and I know you'll give us everything that we can handle. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight we're going to have a good time with you, and the revelations will come forth, and you're going to show us things. I thank you, Lord, that when we pray, our prayers are answered. And I praise you for it, Father. Lord, I long for that walk that you want us to walk with hunger, nothing but you on our minds, nothing but you, that everything else is gone aside. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. You're going to help us get into that realm of walking with you, Lord, that when we take a step outside of our rooms, that it's going to be you guiding us, not us. And I praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to show us how to do it and when to do it and be led to do it. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that resides in us to lead us and to teach us and to bring back to our memory the scriptures that are needed to evangelize the world. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, I thank you that you've given us the ability and the promises are in the Word of God that when we pray for somebody, they're going to be set free, whatever the problem is, whatever the circumstances. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Lord. And I love you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're placing more love in our hearts for you, Lord. Let us be diligent to read and study and get the Word in our hearts, Lord. Get it in our hearts to a point that it'll all be on file where the Holy Spirit can just bring it forward when it's needed. And we praise you. Thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for all you're going to do tonight, too, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer? Everybody get full yesterday? Boy, I did. I put some ribs on Pat. Woo, glory to God. I like to hurt myself on them. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Testimony. What's the Lord showing you? Yeah, Missy. Yeah.
I got a couple testimonies, praise reports, whatever. And well, first of all, anybody that saw the chat when I put in their prayer for Merle's nephew Denny, he had a bunch of mini brain bleeds on his brain and some kind of infection. Well, he's in rehab now and he's doing good. His aunt said that his mind seems perfectly fine, you know. He has all his intelligence there. And but anyway, her husband basically the cut drive led him to the Lord, which was my concern. I just sensed that he didn't know the Lord or whatever. And so that she prayed for healing for him. Letting the they led him to the Lord. So that was awesome. That was an answer to prayer. That was, and I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to use this in a mighty way throughout the whole family, Lord. That and you're going to set him on fire, and he's going to have love. He has love of your word, and can't get enough of it, and he's going to grow up quickly in you, Lord. Praise you and thank you, Lord. And another
Amen.
little little thing. The lawn needed mowed, and this week they're calling for rain, you know, every day. Not that it's going to be a washout, but and I'm leaving Saturday to go to my family anyway, and they're like, okay, we got to get this lawn mowed, and there was rain coming, and it was like there was a spot of it that was almost here. Merle goes out and he just starts mowing, and I'm like, okay, Lord, hold off the rain, and he did. It only just like a couple drops here and there, you know. And I'd say maybe 15 minutes after we got done, it was it started raining, not real bad, but still. So I was like, thank you, Lord. It was like moving up, and it would dissipate, and it'd move up and dissipate, you know. So I was like, thank you, Lord, we needed that done. So it's the little things that
Amen.
he, how much more the big things? Asking, that's asking for big things, because there's nothing too hard for him. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Anyone else? Hi,
Michael,
Vanita. Yeah.
are you asking for prayer right now? Prayers?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I sent you something from Joe he sent me to pray for. I didn't think you'd be able to see. It was kind of soon. Then I tried to call you to say, oh, I sent you something. So, but I'll just pray for him for this thing he wants prayer for. Okay.
What's he want prayer for?
Just someone with his brother. I'll just go ahead and pray for it. He's
Okay,
just,
go ahead.
yeah, he just has a, I feel his brother is distancing him in a way, and not wanting to join in some a vacation time they're gonna have, a 3-day weekend for him and stuff. So that kind of a thing. And so anyway, just I'd pray. I didn't quite know how to do it, bring it up and everything, but I thought you maybe couldn't have seen it. So Lord, I'm just gonna pray for Joe, Lord God, and I pray, God, that you would cause him to just really seek you first before he even wants to even try to speak into this with his brother, Lord God. But Lord, that you would prepare his brother's heart, Lord God, and to receive Joe. And Lord God, that you would mend this situation, God, and get to the bottom of it, and that you would cause him to go talk things out. And he wants us to be close with his brother, and he's learned a lot. How he's been would act the same way that he's seen he's being treated, that he would has treated others. And thank you, Lord, that you've delivered him from many of these situations, Lord, and this the meaning of this type of spirit, Lord God. And so I thank you, Lord, that you will just move, and you will help him to reach his brother and help his brother to receive him. And Lord, that you just reconcile relationship and bring them close together, Lord. And thank you that you just give Joe peace and not have any resentment of not wanting to take part in this gathering and time together with family. And just thank you, Lord, that you're going to do this for him, and you're seeing his heart and you care. And so we just lift him up to you, Lord, and thank you for working this out and strengthening
Amen.
this relationship in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Benita, go ahead, huh?
All right. Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Hey, I've got a couple of things, a praise request, a praise report. My Equinox that I've been driving, the screen on it's got like where the radio and everything and the backup screen, it just went out when Frank had fixed the heater on it back when I came down to Tennessee last time. So we haven't had a screen that worked, and we didn't know what time it was or what day it was. Didn't have a radio or anything. We don't listen to the radio anyways, but it wasn't there. It was just kind of annoying. But all of a sudden, I mean, Nick and I prayed over it, and we were just standing in faith that it was going to be healed and be fixed. And the other day it came on, and it just all of a sudden started working again. And Nick was so
Amen. Thank
excited.
you,
He's like,
Jesus.
oh, praise the Lord. So yeah, it's all fully functioning again, and we know what time and day it is. So that was pretty exciting over here.
Amen.
So
Thank
that
you,
was
Lord.
good news. And then and then today there was a girl that I was talking to, and she asked me what kind of music I listened to, and I said, because she was going to put something on the radio, and I'm like, well, I guess I just listen. I don't really. I just listen to Christian music. She's like, oh, you do? Oh, really? I'm just a new Christian. I just became Christian. I'm like, oh, okay. I thought she'd be like, oh, Christian music, you listen to that. But she was all excited. She just is going to college, and she's in this Christian group, and she just started. She was raised a Catholic, but she's joined this Christian group, and so she's really excited to have found the Lord and accepted him as her own. And so, but Lord, I talked to her a little bit about, where I was at the Baptist church, and then I came over to this ministry, and so we just talked a little bit, not very much, but hopefully I'll get to see her again. And Lord, I just want to pray for her that you would just give her a quick revelation, Lord, that she would see the truth and see right through all the phony baloney out there in the Babylonish apostate church. And we just pray for a quick revelation for her, Lord, and just give me opportunities to share your word through your book, through the books and the ministry, or however you want me to do it, Lord. Lead me and guide me in that. And thank you, Lord, for bringing a new one in. Praise the Lord for her. Amen. I think there was one more thing. What was it? I might have to come back. I can't remember right now. Oh, I guess, yeah, one more thing. My mom has been having a lot of trouble with her leg. Just she can't lift it up to put her pants on, and it's just causing a lot of pain. And I think I prayed about this with you guys earlier, but she's been trying to go to all different kinds of different places to get fixed. And I told her I prayed for her, and she's re really excited about that, and she wanted me to pray for her. So Lord, I just lift her up and just give her just fill her up with faith, that a revelation, just heal her, Lord, so that she can see the truth in the Bible and the truth in you, Jesus. We thank you for all you're going to do for her, and all that this trial and tribulation is going to bring her through and bring her to you. And we praise you for that, Lord. Thank you. Amen. I think that's it for now. Can't remember the other one.
All right. Okay, Julie.
I just want to add on to Vanita's prayer for her mom. Heavenly Father, we bless her in the name of Jesus, and we take authority over this pain, whatever's causing it, and we command it to leave her body. We command any metals and that stuff that may have come into her body through all the chemtrails and that kind of thing as they've been spraying. We cast that out in Jesus' name. We command complete healing into her leg and her body, Lord, that it's not going to move around somewhere else, that it's going to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that she is healed and that pain is gone and she's going to know it. Thank you, Lord. You get all the glory, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God, it's done. It's done. All right. Anyone else? I'm sorry, I'm getting telephone texts while the fellowship's going on. Shut it off. Okay. Anybody got anything else want to say, comment on? I'm gonna read something here directly, but go ahead if you do.
Oh, I just remembered what the last thing was. I was sleeping last night, and I've just been sleeping so great, just like all through the night, and just real nice sleep. I love it. Well, last night I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and so I just laying here praying, and I kind of fell back asleep, and I don't know, it was kind of in and out, and All of a sudden, these thoughts came into my mind about things that happened in the past and just things that were, oh, how do I say it? Like they weren't, people did things that weren't right. You know, they, the Lord needs to take vengeance. Let me put it that way. But I don't know, they just can't. I, it was just this. It was unforgiveness, I guess, is what it was. And they came back in my head, things with some teachers and with some other things. I don't know, lots of different ones kept coming into my head. So I was like, why is this all coming back to me right now? Why am I thinking about all these things that happened like 8 years ago or whatever, you know, a long time ago? So I decided to turn on and listened to one of David's teachings on YouTube, and it was all about that. It was just perfect. The Lord just gave me those that teaching right then, and it was just exactly what I needed. Talk about unforgiveness and the spirit of rejection. That's what it was about, the spirit of rejection. And so I just want to praise the Lord for just putting that right there where I needed it when I needed it, and helping me through that, and helping me just forgive, and praise the Lord that I was able to do that and receive that, and just cast out the any spirit of rejection that might still be lingering, or just bind it up. It's gone. It's not even lingering. It's gone. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else? Father got these powered up. All right. I'm going to read you a little bit of something. How many of you know that the church in the West and the church in the East is a lot different? I'll read you something. I've read it before, and the reason I wanted to read it now is to bring it back to our remembrance to understand that to get to have the power of God to set people free in our lives, we have to humble ourselves and ask the Lord to put that hunger in us for Him. And do y'all mind if I read you this thing from the, it's not very long. It's about 4 or 5 pages long is all. And I write big, so it's not going to be too bad. Okay. Okay, good. Let me draw it up. This is if you remember, I read this some time ago. It's an interview with the Chinese house church leader. And the guy that was interviewing, his name was Denny. And he said, when I was listening to you, I wrote a few questions that I had wanted to ask. One is about fasting and prayer. How much do the people fast and pray in the house churches of China? And the guy from China's name is Ren, R-E-N. Brother Ren says, let us take prayer first. The leaders of the church in China try to pray 3 to 4 hours a day. That's normal. But then there are some brethren who are totally committed to pray. Almost every minute they are awake, they are praying. They cannot even be elders in the church because of the amount of time they spend in prayer. They have two kinds of leaders in the church. They have spiritual leaders who fast and pray, and then they have practical, operational leaders who are active in everyday affairs of the church. The praying leaders are praying for the whole church and especially for the practical leaders. They're not in a preaching ministry. The operational leaders go to them for direction and wisdom. Very few Westerners have ever met these elders. These men are older men who cannot travel anymore, so they're mainly in that ministry. It literally keeps the church on track. They hear from the Lord and give answers to the practical leaders. Brother Paul says, I know a brother who never sleeps more than 2 hours a night. He prays for 22 hours a day. The brothers and sisters pray always, and there are many all-night prayer vigils. I've been to some of these prayer meetings. By morning, the floor is slippery because of all the tears that flow during prayer. Brother Denny asked, well, what about fasting? What part does fasting play in all these testimonies we have heard? Brother Wren says, there are two kinds of fasting in China. Most of the pastors have to fast because they don't have any money to buy food. It's a natural part of their lives. The other kind of fasting is out of a burden for someone or some spiritual issue. When you read from Brother Yun's book, Yun book, you will read how he fasted 100 days to get one Bible during the Cold War Revolution. He was eating a small bowl of rice each day, and that's all. That means there was no time that he wasn't fasting. After 100 days of prayer and fasting, he received a Bible in a supernatural way. That story is there. It is not in any way special. People fast like that often. During one of the meetings on this tour, Paul was sharing something about one of the gospel teams. The first time we sent about 20 people out to preach, 19 of them were arrested. One came back to report. Everyone else was detained for 6 months. We sent another group. Same thing happened. One lady came home on a stretcher. They had smashed her skull. She was paralyzed, but later God restored her. When there is such resistance like this in one specific location, then the whole team goes to fasting and praying. Usually, this kind of fasting will break the yoke within 30 days, and then the gospel has free course. When there is a real resistance, the teams do not try to preach and push the gospel. They just go on their knees and wait on the Lord to hear his voice for direction on what to do. They just keep silent and continue to fast and pray. And this is a very practical part of their lives. Brother Denny, do they have corporate fasting where the whole church joins in when a need comes up? Brother Brian says, yes, they do. Let me just give you an example about when the group Eastern Lightning kidnapped all of their leaders. I met with the leaders from maybe 10 different house church networks, and they would all say, we have started once a week for fasting and prayer for the release of these leaders. That was something pronounced all around the body of Christ in China. When Brother Yun was arrested, the whole church in China was fasting and praying. Brother Denny asked, said, how do the Acts of the Apostles compare to the Chinese church? What does the Chinese church believe about the book of Acts? Brother Paul says, they would say we are there. It is our normal Christian life. They believe that Acts is a demonstration of a normal Christian life. It is a testimony of the resurrected Christ, and he's still the same today. They don't believe that miracles have passed away. Brother Wren says, we have to understand that the gospel that is preached in China is a little bit different. The emphasis is not only intellectual and mental messages, it is 50% preaching, 50% showing the power of the gospel. I'm going to read that again. It is 50% preaching and 50% showing the power of the gospel. There is always an expectation and readiness for miracles. And it's normal that any time when the message of the gospel is pronounced, there's going to be a demonstration of the power of God in that situation. And people can see clearly that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is the Savior of the world. The Church of China is not praying for miracles, but they're living in miracles. And it's like Paul said, it is the normal Christian life. Think about the challenge of the countries west of China, like the many Muslim countries. The only thing that can really bring an opening to these people is demonstration of God's compassion. You have to show them that you have something more than all these gods they're bowing to. You have to prove your case instantly and on the spot, that this is true, that Jesus is alive and that he is the Savior of the world and that he has all authorities. The Chinese house churches are living in the time of the Book of Acts. The Holy Spirit is working in their lives. They are just trying to follow the wind of the Holy Spirit, and it's something we miss. We always want to settle, and we hope that the Holy Spirit will settle with us and just be with us as we create these centers and places where we hope the Spirit will be moving in a mighty way. We have to understand that God's Holy Spirit is moving all the time. We have to be very flexible. We should, with the maximum effort, join the Holy Spirit where He is working, not trying to work ourselves. It is always better to partner with Him to find out where He is active today, where the battle is going on, and join Him there. Then we will be blessed with souls, and also the blessing will be reversed upon us. And Brother Denny says, that leads me to my next question. What about missions and methods of evangelism? How do our Chinese brothers live out the Great Commission? And Brother Paul says, their theology and methods are real quite simple. They believe there is only one reason why God has left them here on earth, and that I'm sorry, left them here on earth, and that is to evangelize the lost. Anyone who's not actively pursuing this holy purpose is missing the mark. The Great Commission cannot be compromised. Their methods are anointed preaching with signs following. The leaders instruct the evangelism teams to go to a new village and inquire about the worst problem in the village. Then they are to go and minister to that problem and show that Jesus is the all-powerful Savior. And with this success, they turn to people and preach Jesus to them. Brother Wren says, I'll give you a beautiful example of how this worked for two young ladies. Here it is, who were sent to a village to share the gospel. These two sisters, 18 years old and very tiny, came to a village of about 300 people. One big problem. There was a man who was possessed by a demon, and somehow the communists were able to count that this man had 12 demons in him. He was learning in five different languages. He was so powerful that 12 heavy farmers couldn't hold him back. They tried with chains and wires, but he had the power to break free. This man happened to live at the entrance of that village. The whole village of 300 people could not walk on the road, but had to walk in the forest because the man decided that nobody was going to pass through his property. And whenever anyone stopped or stepped through the property line, which was invisible, the man would come out with a jungle knife in his hand and shout, I'm going to kill you. And everybody was afraid. It was like this for many, many years. Now, these two young ladies came asking, what's the biggest problem in this village? And everybody pointed to the crazy demon-possessed man's house. The sisters turned around and started to move towards that house. They were walking and praying, and the whole village came out from their houses. Everybody wanted to see what would happen. They knew where that invisible line was, and if they stepped over that line and entered into his property, they knew what would happen. He would fly out with a jungle knife, half naked, with a crazy look in his eye, and all the demons would drive him forward to them. Sister Lee, one of the young girls, was leading. The two of them entered onto his property. The man ran out through the door with a knife in his hand, and the sister lifted up her hand and said, "In the name of Jesus, stop." This man became frozen. He stopped in midair like a statue. He couldn't move back and he couldn't move forward. This man was as a stone. He couldn't do anything. He could not stand. His eyes were totally frozen. This happens quite often in China. We know by experience that the body is frozen by the Holy Ghost, but the person can hear with his ears. And you can share any message you want to with this kind of person, and he can understand every word that you speak. Sister Lee went next to this statue and started to proclaim the gospel. She then, through the name of Jesus, cast out all 12 demons out of this man. He was instantly delivered. He melted in that spot like butter and sunshine. And he fell down onto the ground and was completely restored. The first words he said were, "This Jesus is Lord." He was wonderfully saved and restored. And there was a very special group of people who stood together in the village that day. There they stood, the two girls on each side, and the man who used to be possessed in the middle of them. He was talking to these sisters, and together they entered into the village. And as they passed the doors of the first house, the families one by one confessed that Jesus was the Son of God. The whole village, with 300 people, surrendered to the Lord that evening. These are very simple gospel methods: problem, solution, salvation. Brother Denny says, with results like these, they hardly need us Americans to help them. We should be learning from them. Brother Paul says, actually, that's not the case. They very much need missionaries who can come help them and work together, but as equal brothers, not as Western leaders leading the show. That day is well and truly finished, and it's easy to see they do not need our leadership. This is causing a great burden on the Chinese church. I sat in a meeting when one of the house church leaders stood up and said, "We just don't understand why people are racing into China from the West with their own vision and ideas, doing their own thing." He continued, "Why don't these people come and ask us what God has given to the church? They are all bringing their new visions, and it is actually damaging the advance of the gospel in China. The proud Westerners do not even think to ask the Chinese church. The key is that first you must find out what vision God has given his body in China. Then, how you can be a part of that vision. Don't bring a new vision." Brother Denny, let's move on to another important question. How do the Chinese Christians evaluate American Christianity? Listen to this. Brother Wren says, they feel like the church in the West is playing games. They are troubled with all the laughter in the meetings. They, in the Chinese church, are broken and weeping in their assemblies, and we, Christians in America, are telling jokes. This brings very different results. They feel we are bound by traditions and programs and therefore cannot follow the Holy Spirit's leading. We have to make sure we have that direct line to the Holy Spirit and seek to hear his voice. And we can never overemphasize the difference between the followers of Jesus in the West and in China. These followers in China hear their master's voice and they follow him. This is actually a very simple theology. And the Christians in the West have been able to eliminate Christ and his direct presence in their midst. I have a feeling sometimes that the whole Christianity in the West could be going for years before they discover that Jesus has not been with them for a long time. He's gone somewhere else, and he's not with them anymore. Brother Paul says this. He says, the personal message I got from Brother Young is that of Jesus asleep in the boat. His whole point was that so many people in missions and churches and in ministries start out with the power of God and great visions. But then people think, okay, we can row it ourselves now. Thank you very much. And Jesus goes to sleeping in the boat. Great storms arise, and they have to wake Jesus up before it's too late to calm the storm. Make sure Jesus isn't asleep in your church, in your family, or in your fellowship, or in your life. And he says to read Psalms 149, 4 through 9. And that's it. Any comments? That's the church that's under pressure by the government. Go ahead, Andrew. Did you have something you wanted to comment on?
Michael, what was that? It said what psalm to read?
149. Let me see
Okay.
here.
I thought that's what you said. I just wanted to make sure.
149, 4 through 9, and I'll read it here in just a second. Psalms 149. Okay, Psalm 149, 4 through 9. Well, the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Excuse me. Goodness gracious. Thank you, Lord. It's gone. Let the saints exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, to honor have all his saints. Praise be to God. That's what it says. All right. Anybody got any comments? Yeah, Julie, I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand up.
Well, I just put it up.
Okay.
Just something that was coming to me is like, how much prayer they do. And that's part of that's a big part of our job is praying to the Lord, and we're supposed to be praying unceasingly and all that. And it's just because we have so many distractions here. We have so many distractions here that keep us from praying and being in the Word and that kind of thing. And I know we've talked about that a lot. But what struck me was these two little girls, come in there. They were bold and confident, and they knew you have to know your authority, right? You're going to deal with wickedness, and that you go in there and you know who you are, and you bind them. What you do with what you speak is going to happen. So there's no room for doubt, and that just comes from a lot of praying and being in the Word, praying and praying in the Spirit. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, because you have to have faith to do that kind of thing. So they don't have, and I don't remember, Michael, when that interview was, and but I'm assuming it was not that terribly long ago, like maybe 15, 10, 15 years. I don't know when that interview was, when they did that, but they just don't have the same media distractions and entertainment and that kind of stuff.
And plus, like you said, the persecution that they have there, that they're serious about what their calling is. They know that they have to do that. So you don't go into a village like that and they're being led of the Lord, right? But you don't go do something like that, and you can't go in there with any kind of doubt or fear or uncertainty about what, if you speak something, it's going to happen. Because you go in there and it's like, what did they say? It's like, I commit, they cast all these demons out and they froze him. He said, she said, stop in the name of Jesus. And he was completely frozen. He couldn't go anywhere. That's the power of God, So that really struck me, is how much the praying and being really prayed up and being bold in faith, and because you can't do anything. Jesus couldn't do anything of himself, and we know he prayed a lot. He got alone by himself. He got up and spent nights and hours, praying. And so, I think a lot of Christianity, we just pale in comparison.
Yeah, I agree, myself included. One guy got 2 hours of sleep a night, prayed the rest of the 22 hours. Ooh.
I was thinking about that though. That was his calling, that was his responsibility,
Sure.
and he knew it. And there was other people doing other things. He didn't have like a job he had to go to, or you couldn't do that, right?
Well, that's true. That's true. Well, like he said, like the guy said, all the older men that can't do anything else, they pray. That's their ministry, and they love it. They do. Yeah, Andrew.
I'm just kind of questioning as to how many different churches are there in China?
There's,
We
I don't know. I
like
don't know.
different denominations. But here in America, we have a plethora of denominations, and that's a different kind of division spirit that we have to come against. I know they have denominations in China too, but I was just wondering if that's something to apply, the Psalm 149 to, and we just have a different geographical region. Let's not forget about the different geographical regions that are in the seven churches, okay, in the Book of Revelation. Each one had a different, some of them had similar problems, and back then you couldn't just hop on a train and go from one place to the other. Because I believe maybe all of those were in Galatia, the province, the seven churches. I'm not sure about that. Anyway, but like I said, they didn't have high speed rail where you can go from one place to another, and all these different items that happen, you see. So I think that might be some of the items that might be interfering. And of course, the prayer life is very important. You should always be aware that he's there. To me, when I see these two young ladies, and to be spiritually filled doesn't depend upon how old you are. But the older people there had a long time with it, much more longer time than these two young ladies, I think. And yet, they probably were baptized, and they understood the immersing. God gave them this to be immersed in that name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I sometimes think, whether we're just at the tip of the iceberg for this, or I don't know if that's the proper term. That's a saying, it's a mantra. Let's not get those in anymore. whether we're not fully understanding what the Lord wants us to have here, whether we're not accomplishing the things that he would have us accomplish. I'm just commenting here. I'm not speaking. But we've all had experiences with the Lord, and is the word that we have, is it really a breath that we have? Is it really the spirit we have, or is it just a letter? Because you know it, the witness has to witness. In spirit, water, and blood. And we know the water's the word. I think I've said this before, but the water still has to sanctify and cleanse us. And the water, which is the word, is also spirit, because scripture, all scripture is God-breathed. So, I just wonder if it has something to do with, I know it has something to do with our maturity, but whether or not it has something to do with our geographical region and the several different denominations, because you have a plethora of this stuff here in America and Canada, but they are segregating churches, even the government run churches in China. So I'm just curious to that. Praise God.
Well, the underground church in China is all pretty much the same until you get in the government churches. And the government has legal churches that you can go to in China and be okay. You're not going to be harassed. But the underground church, the true church, is the one that's you're seeing out there doing the miracles and stuff. I don't know if they have denominations other than their, you know, I don't know. I know they try to stay alive, and the only way they know how to stay alive is to believe in the Lord and have faith in His promises. And they do. They show it tremendously. And I'll tell you this, I think what we just read there, you're going to see here at some point in time, because the word says it. We're going to see persecutions for the true church of God. In my humble estimation, I think, do we see anywhere near the miracles in our lives that we read about in things like this and other things, you know? And how in the world, how in the spirit, how much of the spirit do we have to have in order to walk in that? And I think one of the things we've talked about many times before, but I think we need to get deeper into it, is spiritual hunger. How do we access that? And when you cry out to the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, everything in you, then God's going to answer. And distractions are not going to be a problem when we do that, in my humble opinion, because I've read about other people that have done that. John Lake is a prime example. Another one is William Seymour. By the way, has anybody ever heard William Seymour called Tom Seymour? Lake called him Tom. I guess he had a... I just read that today. But anyway, that's just my thought on it. I think the Lord is bringing these things like this up for a reason. And the reason is He wants us to walk in that same realm that the first church did. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
Yeah, but I was thinking, and you kind of touched on it, you know, it's like they were, you know, that's not, I don't think it was denominations over there. I don't know about that. But in that interview, it's like they were living the Book of Acts church, the original church that had power, and that's the difference. It's like, I don't know where it is in Corinthians where Paul, is telling them, beware. It's like they have a different Jesus, they have a different gospel, they have another spirit, and there is no power. And I know David's got, all kinds of teachings about the apostate religion that's here in Aspetalas in the West, in the United States. And from my experience in the church I was belonging, I was in, and they had missionaries, and they had missions, and a lot of their tithes and offerings and all that stuff, a percentage of it they gave to support the missionaries and that kind of thing. But they don't have the gospel that has the power behind them. They have the, just a lot of doctrines and a lot of theology, and but they don't have the same gospel. They don't have the gospel that saves. It's just the gospel of Jesus and forgiveness for sins, and that kind of thing, which I know God's using. People, they are where they are. I'm not judging or criticizing. It's just that's where they are, and that's what they know. And it's a religious spirit, and that's where they went, to their theology, Bible schools, and learned all that stuff. And so that's what they have to do. And for the people I know personally that from that church I was in and knew, I've always been praying that, God would give them a real revelation, what the real gospel is, if it's not, because even through the people that they're reaching were these, I don't know what they're telling them when these people that they are evangelizing come to them and say, well, what about this? How come does Jesus still heal? And where are these miracles? And, they have questions. And I don't know how they answer those, but, the so when they come, these missionaries from here and they go to other countries, they don't have, a lot of them don't have that understanding of what the real church is or the power of God, and they're not baptized in the Holy Spirit with all that. And so that's, I think that's what I was thinking when he said that, these people come here to China and they don't ask us what is needed so we can do it together. They come here, they're with their own agendas and their own theologies, and this is the evangelism we're going to do here, which has, no power. There's no anointing with it, and they just have a different gospel, different Jesus. And yeah, it's a sad thing, but I know God's going to turn it all around, and I know He's going to use what He's going to use to save people, So praise God.
And I believe this, Jenny, that and everybody else, that God, during this anointing that He's going to give, it's going to help a lot of people to focus. It's going to help you focus, and not only that, it's going to give you a lot of power to begin with. It's going to be up to us to maintain that by going out and doing what He wants us to do. I just believe that. I believe it, but I also believe that we also need to seek after God, like we've been talking about here for quite some time now, with everything in us. And I know it's hard for us who were brought up with all the stuff that we got to distract us and, we don't have much of an example in the regular church, in the all the denominations that show us how to do that. All they want to do is moralize and tell jokes up in the deal there to get everybody to put money in the box. And then they, like you were talking about, remember what T.L. Osborne, when he and his wife were called to go to India, went over there, and the Hindus had the same looking Bible as his, only it was just as pretty as his was, and that just floored him. And they had words out of here, out of their books, that they counter him with. He wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit to understand what was going on until he just tucked tail and came back to the United States and heard somebody talking about the the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and what that entailed. Got filled with the Holy Spirit, got healed, his wife got healed. They did all of that, and he went back to India and started conquering the devil because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He wanted God more than he wanted anything else. And that's where God wants us. I think I heard, I've read a number of times that T.L. Osborne had saw more people healed than any other body. Because he was working with India. These people are toe to heel all over that land, you know. And they'd come out there and he would just wave his hand and the whole bunch would be healed. Thousands upon thousands of people at one time. That was where his faith was. He knew he had to do it. He knew God would do it. Bam. They were healed. That's going to happen with us if we believe. Go ahead, Missy.
Talking about the distractions and just things that we have nowadays. I was thinking the other day, and I was kind of like talking to the Lord and just saying to him, Lord, back in your time, didn't have all this technology, didn't have this, didn't have this, that, all just society is so different, and it's like, Lord, it's like help. It's like this, it's like nowadays you can't revert back. You can't revert back to the times of Jesus and how things were. And you can't revert back to that. Like people would die. I mean, like seriously, they didn't have electricity. I'm just saying. I mean, people nowadays can't live without that. We can't live without it. We don't know how to. But the thing of it is, there's coming a time when things are going to be really hard, and we are going to be able to live by that way because it's going to be supernatural, Like Goshen, like for instance, Goshen was the only ones that had light when the rest of Egypt was out, Just saying. I was just like pondering all this stuff in my head, and just thinking about it and kind of like telling the Lord, what I thought about it or whatever. And maybe I didn't wait long enough to get a response, but I was just like just thinking about it. It wasn't for real long, but it was just like, Lord, help us, help us to just, and like you were saying, Michael, that anointing is just gonna, like we've heard David say, the anointing breaks the yoke, the yoke to the old man, the yoke of the flesh, the bondage, and I David often says, what does it take to be in the bride? Just believe.
Takes faith.
Yep, just believe. So it's like, it's like
Same thing with
that
the
in
man
and of
child.
itself is miraculous when you think about it. Just believe. Yeah, we got to run after the Lord with all our heart. And we can't think, I can't think, Lord, I'm not there. But it's all by His grace. It's
Yeah.
all by His grace. It's all Him doing it, just believe and he'll do it, Missy. Anyway, just stuff going through my head. Thought I'd share.
Well, that's exactly right. If you remember Lake when he was crying out to, he'd be walking down the street crying out to the Lord, Lord, I want more, I want more, I want more of you. And or whatever it was that he was saying, but he was saying on people would look at him and he didn't care. He was crying out to the Lord. And the Lord kind of told him one day, he said, yeah, it's going to happen on this day. And that was the day that his buddy took him over to pray for that woman. Knocked his buddy halfway across the room from the power of God going through him to her, healed her instantly. But anyway, and Mrs. Wright, the anointing is coming for that. But in the meantime, we need to be diligent in our running after him and crying out to him, Lord, put more hunger in me for you. Put more hunger in me for you, so that these distractions and these things that Missy was talking about or Julie was talking about doesn't get in our way. That the only thing that's on our mind is you. I'll tell you a little story that I read the other day. Teenage girl, her uncle was dying in the hospital. She went home, teenage girl, and she started praying in the spirit for him. Lord, pray through him, through me, for my uncle. I believe it was her uncle. I could be mistaken, but I think that's what she said. And she prayed for 9 hours. 9 hours. Think about it. That's all day. All day thinking about it. And she was praying for her uncle, praying for her uncle. And she got a call on the ninth hour. And one of the, it might have been her mother, called her and said, honey, he's awake. He had died during that time that she was praying. And they had, you know, and then while she was praying, she's just praying, she's praying, she's praying, praise God, doing all of that in the spirit, speaking in tongues. And she got the call, honey, he awoke up, he waked up, he awakened, and he's eating now. I think it was myocarditis vaccine. Anyway, Debbie, go ahead. I'm sorry I missed you a while ago. Two times I missed you.
That's okay. What you read was just so convicting. And I've been reading Brother Young's book, and it's disconvicting. And I know it's like, I don't know what to say. It's like we do need to give out more, you know. And I think about these them in China. They're it's always been like that in China, that kind of persecution for Christians. It hasn't. It's always been that way in China. So it's not like, oh, they were Christians and they got convicted. They got to really, you know, get going with the Lord. They got saved and right into that persecution. They got saved and walked right into that, and living the way you just things you just read right away. You know, I'm sure many were ministered to and for growth, but that's just amazing to me. It's like so it's gonna have to take that kind of stuff for us to also for many, I guess, God's people to get serious. It's gonna take this some persecution. It's just really
You
pretty
know
amazing.
something, Debbie. You know something, Debbie. Wonder what would happen if, when we came together, in fellowship, whenever, if we come together for hot dogs, if we just stopped and prayed for whatever subject that we have for that fellowship, prayed for that particular thing. Wonder what would happen. I believe God would
Real
answer it,
prayer, yeah.
and then we could eat hot dogs after the job was done. I'm just saying, I'm just thinking out loud. Go ahead, Julie.
Was just something that was coming to me when you were saying that there's like two different types of churches. There's like the real church, the original church, and then you said there's like government churches that they allow people to go to and they
Go
don't
gov
persecute.
government okay
And I guess kind
churches.
of what was thinking. Yeah. Well, I guess what I was thinking was is kind of like similar to, the apostate churches here, because they're all 501c3 and they don't speak against a lot of things because they can't, or they would lose their, their tax write-offs and that kind of thing. So it's kind of like that. That's what was coming to me, is that's kind of the similarities. It's okay, you can go to your church and you can do these things, just don't speak anything we don't agree with. You know, and you can continue on.
That's true. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, I was looking for that church in here in the book, in Brother Young's book, that the three, lost it.
I
Oh
think
my,
it's
what's it
called
called?
a
The Three Self Church. There really is no freedom. These Christians give in to that, so they're not harassed, you know, to avoid all that persecution. There's no. They can't do any ministry without permission. There's no evangelism. It's no evangelism. You no outreach for children is banned, and they even decree that certain parts of the Bible cannot be preached, much as sound like the second coming of the Lord Jesus. There's no real freedom in this government church for the Christians. There's
Sounds
they
like the Jews
so these
running the
people just run
place.
to the Christians that aren't, Christians that aren't serious run to that, what the government has allowed them to do, thinking, no, but they're giving up. They're giving up their life for the Lord, actually, to join those churches, because they know they can't really do anything. Amazing.
Well, they're present, imprisoned all the time. They go out and evangelize and get arrested and thrown in jail for 6 months.
Lot of people that are in those, oh yeah, and longer. And a lot of people that are in those three self-churches do get convicted and leave it, you know, and then they're getting hunted down, you know, so because it's not a good thing that those three self-churches. And then I read a part where it said that they brought the freedom, much more freedom. And it was, oh yeah, the Christians could go and gather and meet, and they started doing that, but it was all a trick of the authorities. It was a trick to get them gathered together, and so they could get a whole bunch at one time. So it's like there's just no freedom. Well, those churches are just a lie, you know. Anyway, so what they have to endure there is just amazing to me. And
That's why
I don't think
the miracles are imperative
yeah
in your evangelism,
yeah
to bring people out of that garbage. What do you think a Baptist would do if he saw somebody's leg growing out that wasn't there, as you were praying for? Poor the part, I said, my goodness, the whole church would come to Jesus. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. Andrew's had his hand up, Missy, for a while.
You better let Missy go first. I think I
Isn't that
lost my
sweet?
train of thought.
Okay, go ahead, Missy.
Well, when you said that just reminded me of something. And I don't recall it being brought up at all for prayer or whatever. This EF4 tornado that went through Kentucky, southeastern Kentucky, like 10 days ago or whatever. And there were like 28 people killed, and there was this husband and wife that they were holding on to each other, and they both lost an arm. They didn't give details, but it was like they were holding each other, and the side, you know, they lost opposite arms or whatever, you know, like she lost her right and he lost his left, because they were holding on to each other. And my thought is maybe something hit them on that side. It took their arms out or something. I don't know. But, you know, I was just like thinking, Lord, I pray for, you know, I know, I think their niece or whatever did GoFundMe and was asking for prayers and appreciative of prayers for her aunt and uncle. They're like in their 60s or whatever. And he has dementia. She's in, she's not doing well at all. She's in like a coma or something or whatever. So could we pray for them, you know? Just pray for them. Lord, I speak health and healing to both of them, and for this woman to wake up and come out of this and be completely healed. And I thank you, Lord, for giving them both their arm back, Lord, and for your glory and your honor and your praise, Lord, to bring salvation, to bring revival, Lord. I sense that maybe they might be Christians, I don't know, but if they're not, Lord, grant them repentance and belief in you, Lord, and restore them completely. Make them whole again. Just speak health and healing to both of them. And I command that dementia that's on him to go, that demon go in the name of Jesus. He has perfect mind in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in them and the work that you've done for them, and that it's all going to be to your glory and your honor and your praise. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for all these other families of people who lost family members, Lord. Lord, this community was really devastated, Lord. And I pray you take people in there to preach the real gospel to them and bring about revival, Lord, in this little community. I don't think it was a real big town or whatever, but Lord, it was really devastating, Lord, and get the people the help that they need, and that bring Christians in there, Lord, that your true people, Lord, the true church, Lord, to preach the real gospel to them and pray and for healing and deliverance, and just pour out your spirit upon these people, Lord, and bring salvation in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What a time that would have been for somebody that was full of the Holy Ghost, operating in the gifts. You know, maybe it might be a good time to remember to pray for yourself to operate in the gifts when they're needed. Operating every gift, not just one or two, not just healing and whatever you enjoy, but the gifts are available to us all. We just have to believe that they're there and believe that God's going to use us when the time comes. And God will do it. The Holy Spirit will give it to you. Ask the Lord to interpret your tongues, the Spirit of God. Ask him to interpret your tongues and watch what happens. He'll do it. All right. Yeah, and this guy with the arm and this man and this woman, Lord, send somebody. Lord of a harvest, send somebody there that has the authority and the power of God on him to be a witness to that whole area there, that he would command those arms to grow out and it would happen, and the whole town would come to you, Lord, in a mighty way. And I praise you for it, Father. I'll go if you send me. I'll go. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe anybody here would too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Whoo! My. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Who's next? All of victims are. Go ahead, Andrea. Before I get started, I'll let you go ahead so you don't forget.
I got it back.
Oh, praise
So
God! Praise God.
we were talking about the churches that were, did you call it C 104? They can only preach what, or they'll lose their. When you look at the covenant on chapter 8 of Hebrews, the Lord God said he would put his law in our minds and in our hearts. What was just put into those people? Was it from the Lord God? No, it wasn't. some other narrative that had a spirit behind it was put into those churches. And that's just not right. They'll even do movies about this. I think I have some sort of Christian movie where, what was it? God's not dead, and the pastor gets all in trouble there because he didn't. The government was ordering them to bring in a sheet on what they were going to preach on that Sunday, and they were supposed to okay it, and, if it could preach on it or not. So, yeah, that's the spirit. That's if God's going to put in His law, and if He said, "I will do this," then that's grace. The law is the tricking word there, you see. And if someone else is going to put a word into you, you know, it gets in there. You know, you had Charles Manson. When he was a boy, he was okay. Some word went into him to do that. I don't even know what he did. Okay. We got our own person up here in Canada called Bernardo. And I'm sure when he was a boy, you know, and the parents get all upset about it. You know, where did I go wrong? To try and take that law, the justice of law out of God's powerful word, we know the fulfillment of the law. Because that's what he's really doing there for the new covenant. That's what Jesus said. Think not that I come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill. So what are these other words that are being inputted into their minds by the government, by our governments, and into their hearts? What are the words that are in your heart and in your mind that's against what you're praying for, whether it be a healing or something? I never thought of that. That just came on me a couple of days ago, you know, and I'm going, well, Lord, your word is spirit too. And so is the blood. And so is the spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we're supposed to have the name. We're supposed to have the authority in all three areas of this. We share in your name, Lord. And it's kind of scary in a good way. And it's scary in a good way because we share in his name, and you know, it's not that source of that other word, whether it be a temptation. You have been practicing when you get that weird word coming into you about sin. And you go, no, I'm casting down this imagination, or I have authority to tread upon this serpent and scorpion. But you know, the subtlety of some of these words made these preachers accept it so that they can have their seed, whatever it's called, their ability to be on some sort of list for tax refund. It's probably something else up here. So anyway, we were also taught about our cross. And I know you. I know that you got these DS people. And I know we have these people that turn us the wrong way. You got these lefties, you know. I've repented about this. This guy shown this leftist person who doesn't like someone who makes electric cars, and she's flailing and rolling around on the ground. And I'm going, why is he filming this? You know, should not this person, if he has any sort of Christianity in him, know what's wrong with that person? Isn't it evident that something that was put into her mind that's contrary to the law of God, to the grace that God gives people to save them and to fill them with fruit and proper behavior? He that calleth you is holy, be ye therefore holy in all your behavior. Peter said it. Is this helping anything? It could help for a few seconds to know that someone is oppressed or possessed. You know, the vision and the belief of these Westerners, I agree with these Chinese people because, you know, they've had the word with them for over 1,000 years. You can go down the line from Portugal to Poland to Russia, from Norway to Sicily. All our backgrounds come from somewhere there. And most of those nations have had the Bible, whether it was in Latin or in their own language, for 1,000 years. Who's more accountable, China or England? For the history that we've seen. Anyways, you know, the URI isn't where it's supposed to be. And you know, there's the narrow door, and wide is the other way. Well, all they did with the URI and invited all the other religions with the Christian religions was make it a just a bit wider. But the narrow way and the narrow gate and the narrow door is still there. And it's in chapter 10 of John. They just widen the door a bit more. They widen the path more. They want to make the Tower of Babel again. And the sad thing is the Christians in there just don't see it. There's verses for that, you know. There's not too many verses actually. There's an input or of Luke 13, 24, 22 to 30, and Matthew 7, 14. 12 to 14. There's the golden rule in there too. And it talks about the wide way and the narrow door, you know. And it's really interesting that they think that they can make a unity of URI, United Religions Initiative. Where's the unity? That's a lie. They've never been united. Each one of those religions have a mandate in there not to go beyond their religion, even with denominationalism. And the United Nations, well, that's a lie. Since its foundation in the late 1940s to now, they were trying to make it while the whole world was at the war, killing millions of people. I thought Cain, no descendants of Cain didn't come on Noah's boat. That was something that came and happened. Anyway, these people have a covenant that no God. They got Noah's covenant. And it's really close to Abraham's covenant, and it's really close to our covenant. It's just that we get blood. We get Holy Spirit in us. And we get word spirit in us. It's I can't put it any other way. And my hope is that these two verses in Luke, when it talks about the narrow and the wide road, Matthew 7:14 and Luke 13:24, read a few verses above and below it, and you can compare that parable to every single other parable. It fits into each and every one. Sometimes it's talking about a corporate amount of people, and sometimes it's just talking about an individual, you know, the unforgiveness guy. How does it fit? And did he just come off the narrow road and go into the wide? What was it? This word, unforgiveness, take it as that one word and make it spirit now. Did it go into this person's head and in his heart? And that's a new covenant now. And it's against the covenant because it's not God's word. Puts a whole new meaning to what it says there on the last page. And we have a wonderful name. We have a wonderful Lord. We have no distractions. What I mean about that is, if you're going to walk down the street, it's like watching a movie. Most of those YouTube things are people's daily lives, you know, like, let's see how to go fishing. Let's see how we live on an island, and let's see how we make our new lives. You know, they're building a cabin in the woods and people are watching that, you know, or fixing a car, or watching the news. Opinionated news of all these different newscasts. We don't know who these people are who are speaking to us. We don't know what we might be receiving. And we need, I repent for doing these crazy things. It's pure stupidity. Not saying that you can't learn from it, because you can learn some things from it, but to dabble in that is not where the Lord wants you. The best of us can learn how to pray very well. If you don't have anything to do. But that said, you know, I just want to bring out a good testimony. I phoned my daughter once, and she said, "Oh, Zach's not here. He's on a retreat. A Christian retreat." And I was going, is this my daughter talking to me about God, who just back over there in October was screaming at me not to witness to her? And he's on a men's retreat. He went for the weekend, you know, and I'm going, he's getting some help somewhere. This is wonderful, you know? And so that's another thing the Lord showed me, you know, she's more personable. I don't know, because I know Ben was with her on the weekend too. I wasn't there that weekend. I kind of hope something may have happened there. But it's easier to talk to her. And you know, you think you stop worrying, and we have to get that worry out of us. And I don't want to worry about things, you know. God has got things in control, casting down all anxieties and stuff, as it says in Philippians there. So let the Lord remind you of things. Let him remind you. Let him remind you what he taught you. I'm constantly a person that needs encouragement. I don't know, like if I had that, what was his name? Barnabas, you know, and the encourager, I would kidnap him. Put him in my room here and say, "You got to speak encouragement with me," and then it'll till it flows out of my mouth, you know. And I think that's what it is. I think a lot of people, whether saved or unsaved, need encouragement. They always feel as if they have to defend themselves about something, or oh no, you know, I got to get my saying in. I don't want my saying in. I want the Lord's saying. I just speaking to this encouragement, like who said your denomination has all the answers? You know, who says I have all the answers? Well, we got a place where we can get the answers on ink, on paper, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. Check it out in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Because you're supposed to be that epistle known and read of all men. So praise and glory to God. And I just hope that this helps some things, you know. There are people, there are voices even, you know, every word read, every word spoken, every word heard, and every word that pops into your head is either light or darkness, good or evil, bitter or sweet. And they can put a cup. You know, you got some kids out there. They can't do anything. They got nothing they can do. From a child, they can be oppressed or possessed. And when someone like that gets saved from their they know they're wrong with God. And they got no help anywhere. And suddenly they hear something, maybe a spirit-filled man or someone their own age in high school speak something, and they go, wow. Or they're attracted to a high school poster, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And they go and they try to figure out what this is all about. Fortunately, that's like a personal thing, you know, because I asked the Lord to show me, where were you, Lord, before all of this? And he showed me that. Didn't you see me drawing you? That was the only poster in the whole school, by the way. And you went across to the gymnasium, and all the basketball players were there. And you're pretty tall too, Andrew. And you had the ball in your hand for a while, because you never do have the, because you're not good at it. And you're dribbling around all these kids, hands held together, praying. Now, who do you think they were praying for? And there was like, I don't know, somewhere between a dozen to 2 dozen there. Anyways, the Lord will show you things in your past that he did for you that if you ask him to, then, you know, and he'll say, no, I was there. I did that. You prayed there to catch a fish because you had some new friends in junior high school and you caught one right after your prayer. And then you even thought about it, Andrew, and said, hey, wait a minute, I prayed when I was 13 and I caught a fish, because they were all making fun of me because I showed them my good spot and I didn't catch anything. And I said, well, I'm letting y'all stand in the good spots where so you can catch fish, because I'm trying to be friendly, you know, because it's a brand new high school, you know, junior high. And well, I caught my fish. I caught my first pike. What's that? Don't touch it. all these kids were looking around on the, you see those? Those are teeth, you know? And I go, oh, I got a pair of pliers here and needle nose. I can take that hook out of there. And we threw it back in. And then you're 13, you get this big pile of fishing line now, you got to settle out. And you're thinking about what just happened. You go, wait a minute, I pray, you know, undoing all the tangles. And the fish took it. And then I went, ah, must have been coincidence. I wasn't saved. And he reminded me about that. Anyway, I traveled on too much. I hope it helps people anyway. But let the Lord lead you. I pray, Lord, let the Lord lead us all to whatever He wants us to do. In Jesus' name I pray, and I thank you, Lord, for all these things. You've given us of the greatest thing we could ever have, your name. Through you, Father God, through your Son, and through your Holy Spirit. Fill us. We're supposed to be immersed in this, Father. We're risen out of it and into the newness of life in this name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this. Thank you, Father, that we have circumcised hearts because of that too. They collate those things, Lord. And we have a reconciliation to get rid of these things. Why are we? Why are we set aside on these items? What's the covenant? Why are we preoccupied? Did something get in there that wasn't supposed to come in there from a different spirit? I'm spooked myself by saying that. You know, you don't even have to do that. You know, you just got to go to work and it'll happen to you. So if you're going to try and watch something on the news or on YouTube, then pretend you're still going to work. Take Jesus with you at least through it. And maybe there's something we have to protect ourselves from the input of the word we don't want in there. We have a mind and a heart for God, His name. You know, why are people saying they're born that way if they're same-sex marriage people? Something was inputted in there. And you know, you may know someone who was normal once, maybe even had a family and married and went off to that. What happened? Well, if that doesn't put the fear of God into those people who are clergy in all these different denominations, then you shouldn't be in that pulpit if you don't understand how these things get in there and in here. And that's the main problem. You know? The 2.6 billion Christians that are in this world are not all the same. Help us, Lord.
Amen. Just a side note here. The Methodists, I was reading about the Methodism history. Methodist John Wesley and Charles Wesley. And they said that Charles and John would have people confess every day who they were in Christ, that they were holy because the Jesus was living in them, Holy Spirit was living in them. They were holy people. They were called the holiness people. But after the Wesleys died, they didn't need to do that anymore. And look at them now. You get away from the Word of God and you'll stray far from it. And I'm sure the rest of the denominations are the same way. They started out real good and then they strayed from the Word of God. Go ahead, Pat. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, I feel like all of the denominations have strayed from their original. I know it's been a while ago, maybe a year or two ago, that the Lord kind of gave me a revelation of of Ezekiel's dried bones, and that those dry bones represented the attempts and the truths and the original spirit that motivated those truths in those people like John and Charles Wesley, that brought in, the Wesleys brought in the spirit and the truths related to holiness, which were foundational to the later presentation or revealing of the Holy Spirit and the gifts, etc., and whatever brought in the early 1900s, etc. But all of those truths, like Michael said, died in those denominations, and the original spirit that brought them into reality left that body, and the bones or the framework of that and of those laws, spiritual laws that dictated the truths there were lost, and just like dry bones, they were tossed into the landscape of Christianity, which is kind of died on the vine, so to speak. But that God is going to, in these last days, blow his breath into those bones, those original truths, and with the same spirit that created and generated and brought them into the Christian landscape or mindset or whatever, is going to re empower those truths to be lived out in these later sons of God, so to speak. But anyway, I think one of the missing ingredients, I know Andrew is talking about, the receiving these words in, and they come in and they create different thoughts and various things like that, which is exactly, what happened to these original denominations. Additional thoughts came in there, mixed with the misunderstanding and the failure of those followers of them, that through their failure and personal justification started to water down the truths and adapt new things to justify their own lack of power, etc., because they had drifted away from those original principles and truths. And they've created their own religion out of the situation. But the Jesus said, I don't remember where it was at. As a matter of fact, I just turned to it. He gave a parable about him being the good shepherd. Verily I say unto you that he that entered not by the door into the field of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door of it is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And then he goes down a little bit. In John 10:14, he said, "I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine own know me. Even as the Father knoweth me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock, one shepherd," etc. And becoming or being aware of his voice, I'm not sure that it's something that you learn, but it's something that you perceive. Maybe I'm wrong there, but when he says, "My sheep hear my voice," that voice is, obviously in confirmation with the Word of God, the written Word of God as we educate ourselves. But that voice is that which we listen to in the midst of these other voices coming in. And by God's grace, choose that voice as opposed to these other things. Oop. Give me just a quick second here, because I'm about ready to lose my power. But one of the things that I think it was one of the eye-opening things that I received from the Lord, having received the Holy Spirit, and he says that in receiving the Holy Spirit, that he was given to us to guide us into all truth. And I had always taken that to mean, he's there to guide us into all truth, which he does. But there was kind of a little bend on that, or a little additional thought, and that was, he came to guide us into all truth, but it was out of all deception. And it was kind of the additional thought there that, just like Andrew said, talking to these people, and they use the excuse, "I was born this way." And of course, my response was, "Hey, partner, I got some sad news for you. We're all born this way. We all came into this scene the same way, bound in sin and headed for hell, And we were all born in the midst of a world system that permeated everything, which was contrary to God and in deception. And it is only by the grace of God that he infiltrates our mind and our heart to make alive our spirit, which allows us to see the light, to follow him out of this deception. And it's not a one-time thing. It's a constant thing, as we know. I know one of the fallacies of the modern day church is, once you see the light, boom, you've got it. You got it sewed up. You're in like Flynn, man. Kick up your heels and enjoy the ride because you are in like Flynn. And there's the dis you know, now go out and tell others and go out and bring everybody else in, And there's an aspect of truth to that, but obviously we all know that isn't the end, it's the beginning, it's the birth, it's the now there's the need to walk this out. And to learn to stumble, learn to walk, learn to get up, pick ourselves up, learn to overcome, even as he overcome, etc., all the way through. I would say that one of the things that was that in the where we started this conversation is the overseas church, the China church was born into almost the same circumstances as the Book of Acts, because all society, all the government, and all the existing religious system was against them. They were outcasts, and what did they do when it wasn't but a few days after Pentecost that most of the apostles were thrown in jail. Peter was, the church was praying for him to get out of jail because, in those days, you got arrested and tossed into jail, you might not get out of there, or whatever. So, there was a question asked. I think I heard this story. I don't remember what it was, but this preacher was preaching truth over to in the I think Africa or something like that, and preaching some of these truths related to the Holy Spirit and healing and etc. And people just they were going crazy for it. You would ask if anyone in the group needs healing, and instead of getting a maybe a hand or two popping up here or there, the whole crew, the whole congregation jump up and run up to the front. They're ready to get healed or receive from God for whatever. And he was somewhat astounded at this, and he said, "Well, why do you? Is there such a response here? How do you get these people to chase after God so quickly like that?" And the response was, "Well, if over here we don't have any options, we either believe God or we die. In America, you can, believe God, or you can, believe whatever. You can go to the hospital, you can do this. Over there, they don't, they don't have a lot of those options, shall we say. So much, and it's almost the same in the in the China underground church, the same way. They were born into persecution. So, it only stands to reason that what will bring it back into this country or into the Western hemisphere is probably persecution of some sort. And I believe that, that is coming. My only prayer is that we are prepared, that we have investigated and followed the Lord in walking with Him to try to receive and understand all these hidden dry bones that are laying out in the vast history of Christendom, and be ready to participate when God blows His spirit into those bones and raises us up, So anyway, it's I guess all I have is had to say.
Amen. That was good too, Pat. Thank you. I didn't tell that thing on the house churches in China to condemn anybody. It's just to wake us up a little bit, possibly to go ahead and charge after the Lord with all our heart. I know that when I read that, I went to praying then, and talked with David about it. And we both agreed that yeah, that's where God wants us. He wants us to do what the word says, and that's run after him. And when we do, we'll see results almost immediately. Because God wants that, I believe, in these days to come. Go ahead, Julie.
Oh, I was just gonna say how I was thinking last week, the word you got about praying and Debbie's word on praying and it's just what the Lord wants us motivated to do, just to be encouraged to be doing that and be, I think, conscious of it and why we went on that, 3-day fast of seeking him and saying no to the other stuff. The earnestness and how serious he is about it.
Amen. Yeah. That fast we went through last week, that was a good one. For me, it was, and it's kind of an eye-opener too. But Lord, I pray right now that you put a hunger in our hearts to cry out to you, Father, in a way that we haven't done it before, that we would be diligent in our prayer life, be diligent in our focus on you. And like Andrew was talking earlier, Lord, help us to understand that the most important thing right now is not distractions on YouTube or distractions here or yon or whatever, but there should be no distractions between us, you and us, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that everybody that's within listening, that is listening and is here with us tonight, that we would all experience a great, wonderful time seeking you with all our heart, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that there's going to be a lot of testimonies come Thursday night of the wonders that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for setting Joe free too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Praise God. Oh, praise and worship on Thursdays. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that's a good time. This is a good time to be praying for that. And then when we come together, we'll all be in one accord and watch the fire fly. Glory to God. Lord, I thank you for the putting the fire of God in each and every one of us. And Lord, that you couldn't extinguish it. Nobody could extinguish it because we got our eyes locked on you. In the name of Jesus. All right. Good night, everybody. We shall see you next time, Lord willing.